God's got a plan and you're in it. I hope. If you ain't, you be in trouble. God is good all the time, isn't he? He's always making a way where there seems to be no way. All things are happening. We see the attack in Israel. Everybody knows about it. Again, I can only share with you that this is all deep state, antichrist. There's no way Israel could have been attacked with the technology that they have. It was an inside operation. Hello. It was a communication between Israel, United States, and some others. Those that seem to be right, you know ain't right. The Bible tells us that there'll be a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing in the end time. That's unfortunate. The murders, the beheadings, the abuse that's going on. But you can really see evil wickedness, can't you? Remember, thank God those people are going home. They're going home. Everyone, those people that have been killed and murdered and so forth, and even the babies and whatever. And does God allow these things? No, he gives mankind the opportunity to stop it. But all of these things is still a setup. It's a sting operation from God. So the Antichrist is doing everything they can. Amen? And focus is shifting. I mean, we got an idiot president named, what's his name? O'Biden? Oh. Okay. I thought it was O'Biden. I'm sorry. They're both brothers. They're from the same clan, Antichrist, you know. But again, in this, we are watching the exposure of high-level evil all over the world. And God wants us to understand how evil Satan's kingdom is. Because people are still petting evil. They're still under the influence of pharmakia. They're still under the influence of alcohol. They're still under the influence of pornography. They're still on all of these things. See, they think, oh, that's not a bad, I'm not a murderer, but I'm a porn head. No, that ain't the way it is. See, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, and lust means overwhelming desire. Amen? So we're seeing this global effect rise up all over evilness. Men becoming women. Just like what the Word says. The Word said this. And he said it would be as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah. That would be towards the end. We know. And now, seals have been broken, but we're not in full tribulation yet. We're still in the birth pangs, in the endings of the birth pangs, where we will see tribulation. The Bible talks about the wars and rumors of war. Well, this is just a part of it. The Euphrates River is drying up, so we know it's in preparation for the 200 million soldiers who are coming across. Hello? We know all of these things are happening. We're in it. We are the generation of the return of the Lord. We're the generation of God's vengeance and God's favor. We've just started a jubilee that will be 3.5 years. It's amazing. It doesn't seem like it, does it? But things have to be dismantled before they can be released. Amen? Things, in other words, you can't go into a storage unit unless you have broken the key, broken the lock. See, things have been locked up for so long. God's treasures have been locked up. Because every time he tried to release certain things, the devil would steal it because his people weren't in position. They weren't seekers enough. They weren't worshipers enough. They were still living out of the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, and selfish ambitions, me, myself, and I syndrome. Still in a survival mode, not surrender mode. But things are changing. Things are changing rapidly. The body of Christ is changing rapidly. Heck, more than half of them have finally woke up. But the other are still asleep. They're still playing religion. Calling themselves good when they're still touching unclean things. Amen? I'm telling you, things are crazy. We are in a time right now which I want to call in tune. Everyone say in tune. All of the shaking and quaking and everything, God's trying to get us in tune. Because there's been so many distractions. Amen? And that's what the enemy's doing right now, distracting everything and everywhere he can. In tune. What is in tune? God's trying to get us in tune with his heart. See, people cry out to know the heart of God. He says, man, just get in tune with me. And he's talking about the fullness of your soul being in tune. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires in tune with him. In Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they what? Agreed. Wow. Can two walk together unless they what? Agreed. This is called in tune. What do you got to do? You got to agree. So two can't walk together. Why? Because if two are walking together and they're not in agreement, what's that mean? It's divided. The Bible says a house divided cannot what? Stand. So there's got to be unity for two to walk and agree. They got to walk together. This is called in tune. It's called what? In tune. God right now, not only in this in tune time, it's a reset period of time. Because he's resetting everything so that his people can get in tune with him. You know, more focus is on God than ever before. People are running to the Lord. Some of them are running away, but some people are running to him. The body of Christ is increasingly expanding. People are being saved, but being saved and discipled is another thing. There's a lot of people being saved all over the world. The problem is they're not becoming disciples. And there's a difference between a disciple and a Christian. Amen? That's where they have to be discipled. You see, one of the things in the areas of a disciple, he's a seeker, isn't he? And what's he seeking? Revelation all the time. A disciple always seeks revelation. In other words, he's seeking God for fulfillment. Every day as a disciple, you seek revelation from God. Because if you ain't seeking revelation from God, then you're seeking your own fulfillment. Amen? See, you can make all the money you want. You can have the high position you want, but it ain't going to mean poop when you stand before God. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians 5:13, please. For you, brethren, have been called to what? To liberty. That's freedom. Only do not use this liberty and freedom as an opportunity for what? The flesh. See, this is where people stray. A lot of people have been freed. How many people have gone back to the bondage then? Or they use the freedom saying, I'm a Christian. I'm okay. I can do this. No, you can't. For you, brethren, have been called to freedom and liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you should love your neighbors as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. So what he's saying, when you walk in a Spirit, you agree as one. You're in tune. If you're really walking in a Spirit, you're in tune with the Spirit of God. Amen? And if you're in tune, you know what? God's heart. You're in tune with his heart. You're in tune with his desires. You're in tune with what he wants. You're in tune with what pleases him. You're in tune with what displeases him. You're in tune. You know, if a guitar's out of tune, it runs rough. You ever been around a rough person? Grumpy, complaining? Hello? They're out of tune. Hallelujah. In tune. God is doing a reset. We're in a reset period of time. What? To get his people in tune. What's he want? Him first. Him first. Him first. Nothing else. Not your job. Not your families. Nothing else. Him first. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, who are what? Out of tune. The flesh is always out of tune. But according to the Spirit, which is in tune. So there's condemnation to those who are out of tune. Why? Because they're out of position, out of time. But there's no condemnation to those who are in time and in tune. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us. And only those who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Does everybody see that? I'm making it a common sense here. So how is the law fulfilled? Walking in the Spirit. Amen? If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're out of tune. And then the law of sin and death, condemnation, is on you. You haven't escaped it yet. It's there. Of course, God knows the last say of everything, doesn't he? And he does have the last say. But again, here we are. This is a requirement. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? There it is. To be out of tune is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. Why? Because the carnal mind, the physical carnal mind, the fallen nature mind, is against God. Now look at this next part. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Your carnal mind can never be converted. Never. So quit trying to convince yourself that you're going to convert your carnal mind because you're not going to. That old man haunts you every single day. Hello. It's got to be crucified. And the only way it's crucified is by what? Being led by the Spirit. Why? Because you're in tune. But the old man's trying to get you out of tune all the time. He haunts you every day with memories. Hello. And don't tell me he doesn't do it to you. He does it to everyone. There's something every day that reminds me of something of your past. Oh, snap. Wait a minute. I was forgiven for that. You know? Hello? Why? Because your old man is haunts you. He's got to be crucified. I mean, if we could take a sack and stick it in its mouth, it'd be great. But the thing that distances you from the old man is being filled with the Spirit. Amen? It's like a liquid wall between you and him. You know, if you have a liquid wall, it's hard to hear them on the other side. So what you're doing is you're diminishing his voice and his influence. And you're replacing it what? The voice of God. The voice of the Spirit. That of the new creation. Again, it can never be converted. Why? It's going back to dust. Dust that came from, and dust is where he's going. So you're going to have to put up with that old thing until you shed it. And you're going to be very happy when you do. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then those who are in the flesh can never please God. Why? Because they're not in tune. They're out of tune. Now, you got the spirit that's in tune, it pleases God, and is in touch with God. I'm going to say it again. The spirit, when you're in tune, it's in tune, it pleases God, and it's in touch with God. That way you know his voice. You know his unction. He doesn't even have to say anything to you. You got an unction in you that you know what he's doing. Amen. Oh, glory. Now, the flesh is out of tune, out of time, displeases God, and is not in touch with God. The only thing it's in touch with is self. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. In other words, they're going to fall out of tune. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, which is self. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a what? Look, we're seeing this all over the world. You're not going to go murder someone, rape someone, cut their head off and do something if your conscience isn't seared. What you're seeing is the exposure of those who have a seared conscience. Does everybody get it? They have a what? Seared conscience. Look, and I want to share something quick. In the world, there are so many religions and so many goofy things. The Islamic Muslim worship demon deities. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The Jews worship the law and the old covenant. Amen? The world worships itself. And the Christians worship Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. There's a difference right there alone. Why? The only ones that have a seared conscience is the worship of demonic deity. Has everybody got it? And the ones that progress to worship self can sear the conscience also. But even after a person's been a worshiper of themselves, God can still break through. But the other ones, they get fulfillment by hatred, by murder. Why? Because their father is a murderer. And that's Satan, the devil. Hallelujah. So one of the things we want to get in tune with the heart of God. When you're in tune with the heart of God, you have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Now you're maintaining a high level of discernment when you're in tune. A high level of what? Discernment. You're maintaining a high level of focus. You're able to focus more. When you begin to drift, you're able to bring it right in. Nope. You're not a drifter. Your spiritual senses overtake your human senses. Oh, hallelujah. And what are they for? Against all lies of deception. Man, you're able to see right through it all. Is everybody okay? When you're in tune, you have the ability to see things through, to reach a breakthrough and to overthrow. To reach a what? Breakthrough to overthrow. Amen? And you're overthrowing your enemy. It assists you in avoiding the traps of the enemy. And you overcome emotional attacks. In other words, when you've been rejected, when you've been whatever, you do not make emotional decisions because you know who you are in Christ. You maintain a high level of identity in Christ. You maintain a what? High level of identity in Christ. Your fulfillment is in Him, nothing else. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Seared conscience, no mercy, no love, no compassion, only selfish, carnal, fleshy fulfillment. Jude 1:16, please. These are what? Is everybody there? They're what? Grumblers. You know a grumbler? Don't name them. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own desires or lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly desires and lusts. These are what? Sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Why? Because they're not in tune. Now, they might have walked in the Spirit at one time, but they walked out of it. Now they're out of tune. See, there's a difference, again, when you really understand walking in tune and walking out of tune. You're walking in the Spirit or you're walking out of the Spirit. Amen? These are soulish, worldly. They cause division. They're not in the Spirit and they're not in tune. They're easily distracted and easily offended. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. Says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud. Knowing nothing. But is obsessed with what? Disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, and from such people do what? Withdraw yourself. They're proud, obsessed, easily provoked, and they believe that godliness is a means of taking advantage of individuals. Amen. Go to James chapter 3, verse 13. Either in tune or out of tune. And I don't mean it by your singing. You may think somebody's out of tune because they sing out of tune. But they could be very well in tune. Glory. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's speak it together. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Let's say this one again, all right? For where envy and self-seeking exist, well, that's called you out of tune. Confusion and every evil thing are there. And they're getting fed from you. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's in tune. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Yes. And this has got nothing in how you feel. Has everybody got it? Because I know there's some days, man, you just feel like, man, yeah, I just don't feel in tune. That's got nothing to do with it. And don't say that. You're allowing your feelings to dictate instead of allowing the Spirit to dictate. Amen? I mean, there are days when you're like, you may be too, a little behind, you know. Believe me, there's many times where my brain and spirit go, poof, and I'm like, wait a minute. Let me catch up with you. There's a difference in my own definition of fasting. It's keep moving. Hello? If you're fasting, you're moving. If I'm sitting still, my feet, I ain't sitting still. Something's moving. So my wife says, what are you doing? I'm fasting. I'm moving as fast as I can. See, people fast to try to lose weight or whatever, or get spiritual. What does the Bible really talk about fasting? Is it's going to help people. Fasting is fasting from you. That's what it's about. The true fast is the fast from you. Hello? We have a teaching called the sword and the shovel. Yeah. That means you need to bury the old and fight with the new. But true fasting is fasting from you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with fasting food and whatever, do you understand? But what is the food doing? It's bringing selfish desire to you, so you're actually fasting from you. You need to put yourself in a cage and walk away. Quit associating with it. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse 1. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Well, snap it. The Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. Why? Because if he's truly your shepherd, you know he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He's going to do far above all you could ever ask or think. Now, there are certain things he's going to say, ask. But I really believe that there are certain things we're asking for. He said, I didn't ask you to ask that. Amen? There's certain things you don't have to ask for. It's automatic. He knows, the Bible says he knows what you need, right? He says, I know what clothes you need. I know what you need to eat. I know this, right? So there are certain things that you don't need to ask for. In fact, I think it's almost kind of offensive sometimes. Why are you asking me for it? You know, see, what he's saying then is, then you don't know my heart. When you're asking things amiss, you don't know his heart. You don't know his desires. You don't know his purpose, his will. And he loves to surprise us. And if you're asking for something, how's he going to surprise you? He knows what you need before you ask, right? Again, this is where you're in tune. When you're in tune, thank you, Lord. Most of your prayer is not about asking for you. You get filled, dressed with the Spirit and so forth, you know, so you can go out in warfare. But most of your prayer is warfare. Most of your prayer is intercession for others, not you. Amen? You're not, oh, Lord, you know I need this. No, you don't. He knows what you need. Now, you may ask for a favor in something, especially like in a court case or whatever it is. We're asking for peace in Israel. We're asking for peace. We're asking for revival. Those are things that God's heart desires. Oh, Lord, I want a pair of whatever. Man, you ain't got to ask for all that. He knows what you need. And he wants to surprise you. He knows if you need a car. He knows everything you need. Now, he may say, okay, I know you need these. Now, I want you to be more specific about it. But this is where relationship is. There's no assumption when you're in tune. You're not assuming and you're not guessing. You're in tune because you know. And when you don't know, you don't have to know. Hello? When you don't know, you don't what? Have to know. You have to what? Trust. Oh, happy days. The Lord is my shepherd. I am not in want, and I'm not in lack. Amen? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Wait a minute. He restores my what? Soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoring my soul means I've got to reach a high level of conversion of the soul. We call it the master's level. So in other words, you've got to maintain a high level of conversion. Attitude, motive, desires, emotions, imaginations, conscience. You got to maintain a, what? God's character, not yours. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't fear no evil. For you're with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. In other words, because you know his heart. You prepare a table before for me in the presence of my enemies. Ooh. You anoint my head so I can kick their butt. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his presence forever and ever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For there is what? No want to those who what? Fear him. Why? Because you reverence him, you honor him, you respect him, and you what? Know his heart because you're what? In tune. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I love it. You're not going to lack nothing. No want, no lack, maintaining a master's level of conversion in the soul. A continuous self-examination of the heart's intent. In other words, you can discern why, because you're in tune. You're going, you know what? That influence of intention is not correct before my Father. You're going to be able to pluck these things out yourself. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. Amen. Ooh, that fiery dart. Nope. See, when you're in tune, your shield of faith is up also. It can only hit the shield. You know what's hitting the shield, but it ain't penetrating. You know when it gets close, but it's not penetrating. You know that voice as it gets closer and closer, the voice of the stranger, but it's not penetrating. Nah. And you're not freaking over it. Hello? You're not freaking over it. Oh. No, you're not one that's hearing voices all over. Why? Because you're in tune. If you're hearing voices all over, you sure can't be in tune. You're out of tune. But you're in tune with everything else. Hallelujah. John 8. In tune with everything but what you're supposed to be in tune with. And you know, the enemy loves to catch you off guard. And when you're caught off guard, let me tell you what you do. Nothing. You wait till you're refocused in tune. Then you call fire down. John 8, 42. John 8, 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. nor have I come of myself, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to what? Listen to my words. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are what? Not of God. Can you imagine Jesus telling somebody that? Sheesh. Talk about a rebuke. The devil's a murderer. So what you're seeing right now, especially in Israel and war, the purpose of war is so the devil can get fed. He's exposing himself. It's evil. Killing. Think about how many wars and how many things have occurred. How many people have died in war. And they're proud of it. I saw many people come back from Vietnam when I was in the military. It was terrible. And when I was in I was on the base and I was in aviation, these planes that would come back because they ran out of material to repair them, these jets. So you know, they would repair these holes like this with Budweiser cans and Pepsi and everything else, any kind of aluminum they could get, so they could go back out and fly. But look how many people have lost people from war. You know, I mean, again, what are we really defending ourselves from? Evil. Amen? We're defending ourselves from evil. Now, just think about in Israel for a second. If the people were armed, they wouldn't have been able to, those powers of darkness wouldn't have been able to get away with what they did. Why? Because they disarmed their people. These places that try to disarm their people are now dependent on the government. United States will never get there. And if you're a moron that thinks you need to give up your guns to bring peace, you're a real idiot. You want peace? You need to arm everybody. Of course, you know, those are those that are on certain medications, you can't arm, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you gotta scan them, you know, bring them through the, you know, what's your name, you know, stuff like that. You know, but if somebody's been in a mental institution for 14 years, you certainly don't want to arm them with, you know, an automatic pistol or something. But, you know, this is where it just takes a little bit of wisdom. But if all of, you know, the sane individuals were armed, you wouldn't have all this stuff. In fact, right now, all the sane ones are piling up ammunition because they can't trust their own government. And believe me, Biden would be doing all kinds of stuff if we weren't armed. Amen? Hallelujah. Revelation 12. There's been a lot of lives saved just by somebody being in a store when it was being robbed. And somebody was in there that was armed. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That heaven is God's presence. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. In other words, to the atmosphere of this realm. And his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren was who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they were able to live a life of denial of self. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth. I want you to understand that we're no longer inhabitants of the earth. We live here, but this is not our home. We're different. Does everybody get it? Our home is in heaven. Our bodies are here, but we ain't here no more. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? Short time. This is what you're seeing right now. He knows he has a short time. It's going to get shorter, but he knows he has a short time. And I'm going to close it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to the adoption of his sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. So to know the good pleasure of his will, you have to be what? In tune. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery, the hidden of his will. It's been released now. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In other words, all of this falls into play as you're in tune. As you're in tune. But if you're out of tune, it's not going to make sense. Everything must be in tune. So you must become in that place of getting in tune. That means time. Amen? That means forsake not assembling. That means maintaining a heart of worship wherever you go. You know, waking up with a song, singing and praising, quoting the scriptures, praying in the spirit. What are you trying to do? Adjust in tune. Amen. You know, when you turn your steering wheel on a car, it turns back to go straight. What's it doing? It's falling back in tune. So we must learn to do that also. I encourage you, it is so important to be in tune. Get out of the way. Maintain a place that it's not about you, it's about him. And everything we do, no matter what. Your works don't rescue you. Your relationship rescues you. Amen? So be in tune and you'll overcome everything. And you'll be more than a conqueror, knowing all things are going to work to the good. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Praise God.